The Yeshiva Gedol of Johannesburg proudly presents the Wednesday evening shiur, covering the Parashas HaShavua, the Yomim Tovim, and other special topics as delivered by its founder and Rosh HaYeshiva, Rabbi Israel Chaim Goldfein, Zichrono Livrocha. Details regarding how to order additional shiurim follow immediately after the conclusion of the shiur.
Good evening, everyone. This week's Parasha is Parashas Truma. Vayidaber Hashem el Moshe lemor. And Hashem said to Moshe to say, Daber el bnei Yisrael v'yichu li truma. Speak to this children of Israel. And take for me truma. Me'eis kol ish asher yidven alibay tikhu es trumasi. Speak to the children of Israel and take for me offerings from every individual of the every person. Yidveno libe tikves trumasi, those who hearts wish that they should contribute. Vezeis hatruma, and this is the truma asher tikhu meitom, which you should take from them. And then the Torah lists many different types of materials that were needed. Zohar, chesed, and nechoshes, gold, silver, copper, various types of wools, various types of skins, various types of precious stones, and so forth. You also li migdosh, and you shall make for me a sanctuary, v'shochanti b'seichon, that I may dwell amongst you. Excuse me 1 minute. Just put it off for a minute. There's a school of thought in the world, and throughout the generations, in the Torah world also, that the portion which belongs to Israel, that's the world to come, Olam Haba, and the Maila Selyanim Bilti Gashmi, that which is beyond the mundane, physical, materialistic world, that which is divorced from it. And when it comes to Olam Hazeh, this world, or the Olam HaGashmi, the physical world, that belongs to Esav, where his great heir was Romy, the Roman Empire. Or, when it comes to physical beauty or physical perfection, this belongs to the Romans or other such nations. The same when it comes to the perfection of the wisdoms of the physical world. Much of this belonged to Yovan, the Greek Empire. And all of this is very estranged, very far removed from the Torah, from Israel, from HaKadosh Baruch Hu, from the service to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And it belongs to the lowly physical world. And therefore this is something which does not have importance. It is something which does not deserve our praise or our recognition or to be appreciated. The truth of the matter is, this is not what we see from the Torah, HaKdosha, nor from the Chazal, the sages. A very strong demonstration of this are these parshois that we're going to be learning now for the next number of weeks. Truma, Tetzave, Kisiso, Bayakel, Pekude, which deal with the building of the Mishkan, the sanctuary, the Kelim, everything that was used in the sanctuary, the Bigde Kohuna, the garments of the Kohanim, and so forth. And let us elaborate on this and these principles. There is much to elaborate. In fact, there's a beautiful shiur on this, which is written by my Rebbe, the Telfer Rosh Hashiva, Reb Mordechai Gifter, in one of his forim. And there are many, many demonstrations, many principles which are elaborated from the Chazals on this. It'll be too much to cover in one shiur, but let us start this evening and perhaps we'll carry on with this for another shiur or two. Here we have, Rashi brings Yud Gimel Dvorim Niskori Beparsha. Then HaKadosh Baruch Hu asked for 13 different types of elements, materials, and so forth. And he says, Kulam, all of this was needed in the binyan, the building of the sanctuary, the kelim, the various vessels, and the begodim, the garments of the kahanim, as the parshas will tell us. Let's study for a minute or two some of these materials. There was zohov, gold. Gold, the Maral brings, was its value, its intrinsic value, was in its beauty. He says gold has a color, and that color makes it from the most beautiful of all of the materials. Now this is something which is a physical beauty. The Medrash says, Medrash Rabbah, that the gold is so beautiful, the lo haya kedai ha'olam, that really it was too beautiful for this world. But HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave it to the world in order that we should be able to use it for the sanctuary. Kesef, silver, the Maral writes, that's not known for its beauty. Fact is, beauty of appearance, that's dependent on its color. Silver has no color. To the contrary, it's known for its clarity, its purity. And that itself is a physical perfection. Nechoshes, copper. Copper, the Chazal bring, and again the Maral elaborates in places, was the Azus, Mikol HaMatchas. It was the strongest of all of the metals. Not necessarily the strongest in brute strength, but this actually, this Nechoshes is somewhat of a question whether it's a copper or a bronze. The two materials are very closely related. But not necessarily that it was the strongest when it comes to weight, but it is a material that was used to repel various wear and tear and elements. In fact, it's one of the materials that was used underwater. And Nechoshes is always referred to in the Torah, Meitzach Nechoshes, a forehead of copper or of bronze, which means someone who is very, very courageous or brazen. Atzei Shittim, this was a certain type of cedar wood. The Gemara brings that there were a number, lists off the number. This is a Gemara in Baba Basra of Arozim, of cedar woods that were HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave to the world. Each one was special. Each one was a bracha by itself. The Atzei Shittim was the most precious. And the Medrash brings on that also, that the Atzei Shittim was such a beautiful wood from many different facets that it's too good for the world, too perfect for the world. But HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave it to the world because we needed it for the Mishkan. Actually, the Chazal ask, Rashi brings, that where did they get Atzei Shittim? Where did they get the cedar wood in the desert? Nothing grows in the desert. So the Chazal answer that Yaakov Avinu Ra'a V'ruach HaKodesh, when Yaakov came down to Mitzrayim, to Egypt, with his family of 70 people, He foresaw that one day we would leave Egypt and we would be called on to build a sanctuary in the desert, and we would need this atzei shittim, this certain type of wood. And therefore, he took the saplings that were growing in Eretz Yisrael, brought them down to Egypt, replanted them, and he told the sons that when you leave, cut them down and take them with you. Avonim tovos, lo ephod velachoshen. Avonim, precious stones for the ephod. This was the gown, the outer gown of the Kohen Godel. These precious stones went, it was an avnei shoham. It's a greenish stone. In English, they're usually translated as an onyx stone. We're not 100% sure what all of these stones are because they're translated into various different languages. It was of a green color. That was the ephod, and then the choshen. The choshen was the breastplate. It was the most beautiful of all the garments that the Kohen Godel wore, the great high priest wore, and it had 12 precious stones in it. Each one was different. Each one was appropriated, was the represented one of the Yud Bei Shvatim, one of the 12 tribes. Each one was from the most beautiful stones in the world. There was the diamond, which today we consider perhaps the most beautiful stone. I don't know if that's the opinion of the sages also, but it certainly was amongst those. There was a sapphire. There was the onyx stone, and so forth. These stones were selected because of their extreme beauty. Now here, consistently, we're talking about beauty and physical perfection of various physical materials, and that are being used in the Mishkan, in the sanctuary. Incidentally, not only was it necessary that everything that was used was of the utmost beauty, but firstly, Klal Yisrael had to be what is known as mevinim. They had to be people of understanding, masters of the trade, to know what this stone was, what that wood was, what this material was. And then they had to be master craftsmen and brilliant in the artistic world in order to develop all of this into the Mishkan Hashem. Then, for example, the Torah commands us that we should take materials for the yiriyos. The yiriyos were the walls of the Mishkan, which covered the walls of the Mishkan actually were the atzei shittim, the wood. And then the wood was covered with a material which was like a tapestry. And the same with the courtyard. Now, the tapestry was made up of various materials. And the same, there was the pareches, the curtains, and also the garments. These materials were all of the most outstanding colors. For example, the woolens, there was wool, which was made up of tchelis. Tchelis was a very, very rare, beautiful color. Chazal tell us it came from a certain creature, which was known as the chalozen. This chalozen was a creature that lived deep in the sea. It was very, very difficult to catch, which made his color extremely expensive, valuable, and rare. The reason why he was very difficult to catch is because he would only come up from the depths once every 70 years. When he was caught, it was a great art, firstly, to know where to catch him and to know how to catch him without killing him. And then it was a great art how to extract his blood, which would give this color. And the color that it would give would be Demalayam. It would be similar, a similar color to the sea. There's various chazals. The chazal say it's Demalayam. There's one chazal that says it's Demalayasav, to the grass. So evidently it was an aqua blue, bluish green, like the sea many times looks. And wool was dyed in that color before it was used. The material was dyed, and then it was woven into, it was spun into a yarn, which was used to sew what we mentioned before. Then there was argomon. That was another color. That color was, seems to be a purple, a royal purple. There was salashoni, another color. This was a scarlet. This scarlet was made, was dyed from a, it was called talashoni. A talas is a worm. According to many opinions, there was a certain worm that if you would dye the wool in this, in the blood of this worm, it would become a bright scarlet red. Some learn it wasn't a worm, but it was a seed which was found in a certain type of plant. Sheish. Then there was a linen which was pure white. When these garments or these curtains or tapestries were sewn, not only was the above used, but they were sewn also with gold thread. Not woolen thread, dyed gold, but actual gold thread. The gold was cut into strands, very thin strands, and from here they were made into a sewing material. And the sages tell us that when the garments, the tapestries, or the garments were sewn, it was kofel chof ches. There would be 28 strands taken and twisted into a yarn. Why 28? There would be six of the four materials that we mentioned before. That would be 24. And then each group had one gold strand with it. So all of this mixture of colors, which was a blazing mixture of scarlet, of purple, and of tcheles, the blue of the sea, and of white, and of gold, was all mixed together into a yarn, and then the garments were sold. Many times the tapestries also. And on the tapestries itself, there were pictures sewn onto the tapestry, woven into the tapestries. And what were the pictures of? These were the represented, these were the walls of the Mishkan, of the wildlife which HaKadosh Baruch Hu created in the world. For example, the lion or the eagle and so forth. With great detail, great skill, and great chokhmah, great wisdom. There were skins of animals. The skins of the animals, there was, there were the Elim Odomim. The Elim, this was a ram, a male sheep. The skin was taken and then dyed with a red type of dye. These skins were to be used with others to make further covers for the Mishkan over the other tapestries. There were the Eres Atchoshim, the skins of the tachash. What was the tachash? The tachash, the Chazal tell us, the Targum says that he was known as a saskabno. A saskabno is sos begavonim shaloi, an animal that was very happy. Why was he so happy? Because like we mentioned, all of these other colors, he had even more colors. He was had a coat of many, many colors. And then it made him very happy. He was very proud. He was called the Saskabno. Sos begavonim shaloi. What kind of animal was he? We don't know, because it was Nivra Raklishor. He was created probably at the beginning of the creation, but he was created for the sole purpose where his coat could be contributed to the building of the Mishkan. And therefore, once he was used for the Mishkan, then his actual being in the world was no longer necessary. All of this was made with the ultimate in measures, mido, mishkol, minyan, to the ultimate exactness, requiring great skill in mathematics, geometry, in engineering, in diamond cutting, precious stones cutting, jewelry making, goldsmithing, silversmith, woodcrafting, you name it. The fact is, we haven't even spoken about the kalim. Much of the kalim, there was pure gold, there was others, noda, which even Moshe Rabbeinu had trouble understanding what it was. But this is just to touch merely to get an idea of what was going on. In the Parsha, in Perechov Vav, Pasuk Yud Gimel, when the Torah tells us that after we built the walls of the Mishkan with all of the Atzei Shittim, the wood, and then we covered it with the materials, the woolens and so forth, the linens, then it states that there should be a further covering. And that covering was a much heavier, stronger covering. That was made from the skins, which we mentioned. Now it states, Amim Mizeba Eidev, Be'erich Yiriyas Eil, Yasaruach Al-Tzidi Amishkon Mizeh U'Mizeh Lechasoysoy. The measurements were very exact. And the measurements of the top covering, which was made out of skins, was slightly larger than the coverings of the tapestries of the woolens below it. And there was enough to cover the entire tapestries and even have a saruach al tzidi hamishkon mizeh u'mizeh and amo mizeh ve'amo mizeh to overlap the woolen tapestries. What was this for? The Chazal in the Medrash tells us, and also this was the Yiriyas, there was another material used, goat's hair, which was a good rough material, and that was also used in these skins. What was this for? Rashi brings the Medrash, it's a Yalkut. This was for protection, because the outer skins were able to stand up against the elements, while the woolen materials or the linen materials could not. This was to protect it. Lim de Torah derech eretz. From here the Torah teaches us derech eretz, the Chazal say. She odem chas ala yofa. That a person has to take care of what's beautiful. The inner walls that were made from the tapestries, as we mentioned, were made in the ultimate of beauty. Had this physical beauty of color, of art, of craftsmanship, of skill, of engineering. When you have something that's beautiful, not only you must appreciate it, but you have to take care of it. You can't just throw it around. So therefore, HaKadosh Baruch Hu created that the outer coverings should be large enough to protect the inner coverings. Limda Torah Derecher She'odem Chas Ala Yofe, to teach us Derecheretz, the proper behavior and conduct, that when you have something beautiful, you must take care of it. That means if a person goes, he buys himself a good suit, which was by a good craftsman, good materials, you must learn to appreciate it. Actually, in Yiddish, there was an expression. First time I heard this expression, I don't remember just how it went in Yiddish, but the first time I heard this was from the Rebbetzin Shoshana Gifter, Gifter's Rebbetzin. She said there was an expression that he who appreciates silk wears silk. In other words, if you're a grubber mensch, if you're a lowly earthling, you shouldn't be wearing silks. Someone who wears silk should appreciate what kind of material it is. It's a very, very fragile, valuable piece of material. But then when you do appreciate it, you must take care of it. So that means if a person has a beautiful suit, he must appreciate, recognize its beauty, and care for it. Not to go out in the rain, but put on a raincoat over it in order to protect it. So that's what it, exactly what the Torah is teaching us here. This was in the Mishkan. Again, this is a scratch of the surface. The Torah goes through great, great detail. And that only scratches the surface on exactly everything was made. To give you a further example, but we won't go into the detail, the menorah was enormously elaborate. But it was made of pure gold. It was made with all types of ornaments, beautifications, and so forth. It was very high. It was almost as high as a person. In fact, it was high as a person. It was 3 amos high. 18 tefachim. But not only that, it had to be made. Today, a goldsmith would take pieces of gold and then melt them or solder them together. This, no, we weren't allowed to. It had to be made from one piece of gold in its entirety and crafted out. Well, you needed a master of all masters, a goldsmith, to do this. But that wasn't enough either. The amount of gold which was taken, one piece, to craft the entire menorah, the Torah gave its exact weight. And from there, the entire menorah had to be made. In other words, not a gram could be lost, could be wasted. So we're speaking here of master, super artisans, goldsmiths, engineers, artists, and so forth. All to strike a physical perfection, a physical materials. The Beis HaMikdosh, this was the Mishkan. Sanctuary, which was the temporary dwelling place of HaKadosh Baruch Hu until a final home was made for him when in the days of Dovid HaMelech and Shlomo HaMelech in Har HaBayis in Yerushalayim. That was known as the Beis HaMikdosh. The Beis HaMikdosh followed the same principles of the Mishkan, but was far larger, far more elaborate, more of a permanent nature. It was made of stone, and so forth. The Gemara brings on the Beis HaMikdosh, which we are learning at present in Masechta Bava Basra. Bava Basra, Daf Gimel, Seif Amar Aleph, Amud Beis, Godul Yeko, Varabai, Sarzeh, Ha'achrein, Min Harishain, the pasuk in Chagi Beis, that the Beis HaMikdosh, the second Beis, was even greater than the first. Moras, what does it mean, greater? The Gemara comes to the conclusion greater from two dimensions. Rishonim, the second Beis HaMikdash lasted longer than the first. Ubabinyan, and it actually was larger. The first Beis HaMikdash was Kuf Chof Amo, 120 Amos high. 120 Amos high is extremely high. How many, how high would that be in meters? What? 60 Amos high. That was the high. What? 60 meters. 60 meters high. That was the height of the first Beis HaMikdash. 60 meters. How many feet would that be? Well, let's put it this way. What would that be equivalent to a high-rise block of offices? What?
20 stories.
So the Beis HaMikdash was very, very high. Second Beis HaMikdash was higher, Kuf Lamed Amo, 10 Amos higher. In other words, another 10 meters higher, something like that, 130 Amos. Then the Gemara brings that in the time of Hordas, the Gemara says, actually, he was from the house of the Chashmonaim. The Chashmonaim was the family that led the revolt against the Greek Empire, and that's the miracle of Hanukkah. Matishohu and his sons, the Maccabees, at the end of the days of the Chashmonaim, when the family was disintegrating and so forth, and they were the kings in Israel, Hordas was an eved of theirs, a slave. But he wrested power and he made himself king. So he became the king. And he was a very, very wicked person. But then he wanted to do tshuva. And at that time, it was coming close to, it was coming closer, see, close to the end of the reign of the Beis HaMikdash. And the Beis HaMikdash was very deteriorated. So the Chachomim told him, go and rebuild the Beis HaMikdash. This was the second Beis HaMikdash. So he did. And he did a magnificent job. In fact, today, the archaeologists, when they dig into the ruins of the Beis HaMikdash and by the Western Wall and so forth, they find many things there. That was from the time of Hordas. The Gemara says, Misha Leiro Binyan Hordas Leiro Binyan Noem Yomav. Someone who never saw the reconstruction of the Beis HaMikdash that Hordas did, never saw a beautiful Binyan in their lives. What do they mean? Everything else paled compared to it. Now the Chachomim are recognizing good engineering and beauty. But you must remember that this was during the time of the Romans, and the Chashmonaim had lived during the time of the Greeks. In all of world history, there has never been such beautiful engineering, such beautiful art or buildings, architecture, as the Greeks. The Romans tried to carry on what they could. So the Chazal knew what beautiful architecture was. Still they say that this Binyan Beis HaMikdash of Hordas, everything else paled behind it. And this was not an exaggeration. And the Gemara asks, well, what was so wonderful about it? So Gemara gives a few examples. It says, Banya, b'may Banya, what did he use to build it? He built it with Avne Shisha u'mimero, green and white marble. Ike de Amri b'Avne Kuchla Shisha u'mimero. Others say it was a green, a white, and a charcoal blue or a powder blue marble. So this was the stone that he used. Apik Shapo, the Isle Shapo. the stones, when they came together, they weren't even. One was a little higher and one was a little lower, not exactly in line. Ki heichad in the kabel sido, in order that the cement could be placed in between. Sava lemishayo, the mechpayo b'davo. Hudis wanted, in the end, to put a finish over it, in order there should not be this irregularity, and therefore he was going to overlay it with the pure gold. And this was the binyan. This was the binyan of the Beis Hamikdash. Omele Rabbonan Shafke. The Rabbonan, who they themselves had not only had an eye for beauty, they were masters of beauty, of physical beauty. They said, no, leave it. The Hochi Shapit Fe. This way it is more beautiful. The Mekse Ki Idavso Diyomo. Because it looks now like the waves of the sea. Rashi says, Gale Hayom, Shem Noim V'Nodim. Like the waves of the sea that are constantly in movement. The sea is always alive. Never stops. And when a person looks at the waves of the sea, if he looks at it long enough, he almost becomes hypnotized. He becomes in a trance because the sea is constantly moving back and forth. When you looked at the Beis Hamikdash, the Chachomim said this almost hypnotized the eyes, because you could see the constant movement and blending of all of these magnificent colors of the marble coming into each other. And therefore they said, this is more beautiful. Do not overlay it. This was one example that the Chazal give. This is not the only thing. He did the whole binyan like this. The Rambam brings in Hilchos Beis HaBechira, Perek Aleph Halacha Yud VeHalacha Yud Aleph. He says that when we build our Beis HaMikdash, Metzarfin Kol HaAzora BeAvonim Yekores, we overlay the floor on the Beis HaMikdash has to be made with stone, but they should be made with precious stones, the entire floor. Umitzvah min amuvchar, and it's the best possible mitzvah if one can lechazek es abinyan, to strengthen and to reinforce the Beis HaMikdash, shulag biyay kevikeach hatzibor, and to raise it up and to make it as beautiful as possible in accordance to the ability of the community. Shenema ulereimim es Beis Elokeinu, we will uplift the house of Hashem, of our God. Umafari naisoi. We are obligated to be mefa'eret, pe'er, to make it, to give it a radiance and a beauty. Umayafin. Yofe, to give it beauty. Kifi keichon, in accordance to our ability. Im yucheilin liteach eso bizov. If we can cover the entire Beis HaMikdash, this was the Beis HaMikdash that we're saying was like a 20-story building. If we can cover it entirely in gold, ulahagdil mamaisov, and to make it of the utmost beauty and wealth, harei ze mitzvah. This is a mitzvah. This is our command. What do we see from all of this? I mean, we should say, what does this have to do with Avedas Hashem, serving HaKadosh Baruch Hu? Physical world, this is also in the physical world. Talking about wood, holz, you're talking about steiner, eitzim va'avonim, stones, wood, you're talking about gold, silver, copper, wools, animals, animal skins. This belongs to Esav. This belongs to Rome. They were known for their buildings. This belongs to the Greeks, the Greek Empire. They were known for that. What do we know about all of this? And then to study such wisdoms. All of this took enormous study. Can't come to this. To become craftsmen and artisans in these skills, with these talents, But this is not for Israel. Yet here we see, not only was this part of Israel, this was a very great part of them. This is what they used to serve HaKadosh Baruch Hu with. This is what they used to make his sanctuary, to make his Beis HaMikdash. And more so, the whole Beis HaMikdash was full of that. They had to be in the wisdom of music. They had to be from the greatest in the world. The Shir of the Levim. Wasn't, I can guarantee you, any resemblance to music of today. That I could guarantee you. But the greatest music of the world, it would overshadow. It would overshadow. The Levim, anyone, any Levi that wasn't a master singer, he was rejected. Totally. From the Avodah Hashira. The instruments, the Gemara and the Rambam even brings exactly how what instruments there were and how they should be played. He once quoted the Rambam, or he brings at the end, should there be many instruments playing or only one instrument playing? He brings only one instrument playing at the end because that's more beautiful. And now we're going into the wisdom of symphonies. But every part of it was this. But you could ask, this is not the... We're more interested in the next world, not in this world. But it only starts here. We find the same thing, for example, by the Melech Yisrael. In the Melech Yisrael, the Rambam brings, for example, in Hilchos Malachim. Now, before we come to the Melech Yisrael, we must speak about the Kahanim. The Kahanim. The Rambam, the Kahanim and their garments, the Rambam in Hilchos Beis HaBachira, Perek Aleph, Halacha Yud and Yud Aleph. No, excuse me. No, that Rambam we quoted already. No, another Rambam. The Rambam in Perek Ches of Kli HaMikdosh. Halacha Dalet and Halacha He. Halacha Dalet and Halacha He. In, where is it? In Hilchos Kli HaMikdosh, Perek Ches. Now, in this parsha, these materials were also used for the garments of the Kahanim. Bigdei Kohuna, Kohuna, the garments of the Kahanim. Now, let's say we have a Kohen. He has his garments. There were the four garments that the regular Kohanim would use. Then there were the eight garments. There were three types of garments. The four garments that the Kohanim would use, the regular ones. There were the eight, Shmeinu Begodim, eight garments, which the Kohen Godel would use. And then there was a third set, which were four garments, which the Kohen Godel, the high priest, would use on Yom HaKippurim, together with the eight garments. But the four garments he used when he was Nichnas Lifnai Lefnim, when he went into the Kodesh HaKadoshim, he used the four garments. And when he served on Yom Kippur outside of the Kodesh HaKadoshim, he used his eight garments. The eight garments which the Kohen Godel used all of the time, they were referred to as Bigdei Zohor, the garments of gold. Because if you recall a few minutes ago, we mentioned that the garments were sewn with all of the materials. Incidentally, they were climb. The Torah not only permitted, but he demanded that they were made of a mixture of wool and linen. But not only that, they were made of gold thread also. So therefore, they were referred to as big dezov, the golden garments. The four garments of the regular kahanim, or the ones that the Kohen Gadol used in the Kodesh HaKadoshim, in the inner chambers, there was no gold. So therefore, these were called the golden big dezov, golden garments. But the kahanim served in these garments all of the time. Not only they served all of the time, but there was a tremendous, tremendous penalty from Shemayim, from heaven, if a Kohen would dare go into the Beis HaMikdash without his garments. And he could also annul the quality, the acceptance of the korbanos, of the sacrifices. So this was very serious. But what would you say in regards to these garments? Would it make any difference exactly the measurements? Or if they were new or old or shabby? Many halachas on that. Big day kohuna mitzvosin shechadoshim. The mitzvah min amuvcher would that they should always be new. Noim, beautiful. Mishuloshim. And they should be, when he wears them, they should be a little on the long side. Why? Kederech big day hagdolim. Like the gedolim. Who were the gedolim? The gedolim were the royalty, like the royalty, garments of royalty. If you'll see the old pictures, you see, because Bale Malocha, people that did work, they couldn't have real long sleeves or long capes. But the royalty had. They should be that way, like that of the royalty and nobility. Shenemar, as it states, Lekoved Ulsiferus. That they should be for great honor and great beauty. Hoyo mitushtoshin, what happens if they were spotted with dirt? O mikuroin, or they were torn and shabby? O aruchin yeser al midosai, or they did not fit properly. They were a little too big for the kohen. O ktsorim, a little too small for the kohen. O shesilken ba'abnet. Or, for example, they were a little too big, but he could adjust it with his belt. So he pulled it up and tie his belt. The avad, and he served with it, avedos apsula. The korban was possible. It wasn't a kosher korban. Then, hey, he brings, called begin me big dekuna shenaset so'in. What happens if his begodim were dirty? So, we have good clothing also. We have regular clothing. We launder it. Even our good clothing, also we send to a good dry cleaner. Ein malavdin, I say. Not allowed to wash it. Ein machapsin, I say. Not allowed to send it to the dry cleaner or to press it. Ela meinichin. Set aside lepsilos. What do you use it for? From the regular kahanim, they would make wicks out of it. And those wicks would be used for the candles, menorah. But he couldn't wear them again. Velevish chodoshim, and he'd have to put on new begodim. Now these new begodim cost a lot of money in all of the materials and the labor. But nevertheless, they could never be washed or cleaned. Big day kain godel shebolon gainzin, they say. The garments of the kain godel, when they became worn, you couldn't even use them for the wicks. You just had to put them gainzin, they say. You'll put them like in the shemus, like with an old mantle of the Sefer Torah. That's what you did with it. Big day lovan, his white garments, these were the ones that he served in the Lifnaya Lifnim and the Kodesh HaKdoshim Shevet Behem B'yem Hatzeim Eina Eivetim Pam Shni Le'elam Ela Gainzin B'mokim Shiv Sheresom. There, even though he wore them only a few hours, that's all he wore them, just a few hours, he was never allowed to wear them again. Took them off and left them there. The Gemara explains, why are we so particular with this? What's the matter with cleaning it? Send it to a top dry cleaner? It says, Ein anias b'mokam ashiris. And royalty does it. From what I understand, is the queen will, lahavdil, as Elef Abdullah's, that any gown that she wears in public, after that she gives it away. She wears it only once. This is royalty. Because when we're talking to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, HaKadosh Baruch Hu owns the world. We're serving him. We have to serve him with the best. The best of this world. Not only the best of the next world. We're talking about this world. Best of this world. And we don't show any poverty or any lacking when we serve the king. So therefore, if they're spotted or something, you can, the whole korban is no good. And you don't clean it. You have to get a new one. They have to fit perfectly. Otherwise, again, he'll render to the korban to become wasl. The same thing in the Kayin himself, not only in his clothing. Now, we know, naturally, HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants Kahanim, who were the Mishorsei Hashem, they were the ones that were Hibdil Eslebi Bes Kahanim, they were separated from the rest of Yisrael to serve HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Naturally, HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants them to be Tzadikim, the ultimate of righteousness, to be Chachomim, the ultimate of the righteous of the Torah. Actually, it states, Sifsei Kain Yishmor Adas, for the Kahanim really was supposed to come the Chochmas HaTorah. They were supposed to be the teachers in Klal Yisrael. Rambam brings Yaakov, Hivdele Shevet Levi. Yaakov separated the tribe of Levi, that they should always be Maksika Yeshiva. They should always have yeshivas and teach Torah. So they had to be the ultimate. That's in spiritual perfection. What about physical perfection with the Kahanim? That shouldn't count. Not so. We all know that a Kohen, Mumin, apostles. If a Kohen has a mum, a physical blemish, he's rejected from the Avodah. He cannot serve. He's still a Kohen. He still has certain privileges. But he cannot serve in the Beis HaMikdash. And why? Others bring him. He had to have, he was a Kedusha Saguf, the sanctity of the physical body. He had to have a perfect physical body. Shleimus Haguf, physical perfection. It wasn't only the Greeks that looked at that. The difference between Yisrael and the Greeks is bit because by the Greeks that was the beginning and the end of it. Someone had physical perfection, he had everything. By us, that's the beginning of it, but not the end of it. So we all know Mumin Pasul. Imperfection and injury, a certain type of injury and imperfection, the Torah list specifies which ones, he was rejected from the Avodah. What about the Kohen Gadol, the high priest, the Gadol Me'echov? He is supposed to be the greatest of the Kahanim. The Rambam brings in Perek Hei, Halacha Aleph and Vav, in Kli HaMikdosh. Kohen Gadol, Tzorech Yeh Gadol Mikol Echov HaKahanim, the Kohen Gadol is supposed to be. In other words, mitzvah min amuvchar, preferably, he must be greater than all of his brethren, binoy, in beauty. Beauty. Bekeach, in physical strength. Be'esha, in wealth. Bechochma, in wisdom. Bimare, in an appearance. Says HaGadol Me'echov, the one who's greater than all of the other brethren, he becomes the Kohen Gadol. What does it mean greater? We'd say a greater Chochma Mitorah, true, but not the whole truth. Benoy, beauty. Keach, physical strength. Osher, wealth. Wisdom of Torah. Mare, appearance. Ein le moman, what happens if he doesn't, if he has everything else, and he's the greatest, but he doesn't have wealth? Kol akanim neisten le mishalehen, kol echa lefi oshrov. then all of the other kahanim are obligated, each one in accordance to his own wealth, to give to him. Until it becomes the wealthiest kohen in the land. Then the Rambam goes into details on this, but in Halacha He to Aleph to Halacha Vav, he lists just how important was this by the Kohen Gadol. So he writes as follows. Chayv Kohen Gadol Dinei Kovei Beatzmai. The Kohen Gadol had to conduct himself accordingly, with great nobility and royalty. He was like a king. He must not conduct himself like the rest of the nation, or lower himself in the eyes of the rest of the nation. They're never allowed to see him undressed. They're never allowed to see him in a bathhouse, or in any other such place as that. When he takes a haircut, no one is allowed to see him. It says, "Hakain Agodl Meyachor." Melamed Shenayegin by Gedula Yesera. Godl means elevation. We have to conduct ourselves with him like a person of great elevation, like a person of royalty. Layichnas lebeis hamishteh veleilasudi shol rabbi mafileim shol mitzvah. He's never allowed to eat in a public place, even a sudishul mitzvah. He's not allowed to go to a chasana. Okay. Not allowed to go into a public feast either. Sudir vishus, for sure. But even a sudishul mitzvah, not the kain godl. Aber heilechu imrotze levesa ovel. What happens if he has a friend, or a colleague, or a great chacham in Israel that is sitting shiva? He can go to the house of the Shiva. But how? He doesn't go mixed in with everyone else. The Kahanim encircle him. And they give him cover and they let him lead, but they encircle him. And the Zagan, that was his vice, the vice Kohen Gadol, would separate the people from him. Actually, I once saw the Svadim with a Chacham walk that way. They still have that tradition. See? Same thing, a Chacham. And the Skan in the Mashuach Shoavam Yeminai, the vice Kohen Gadol, and the Mashuach Shoavar, that was another high official Kohen. They would be on his right, the Reish Beis Av, and that was another high officer of the Kahanim, would be on his left. And he goes in and he tells the Avelim, Tinachumu, you should be comforted. And they have to give him kovet. Meis le meis, what happens if he becomes an oval? Ena yetze acharav, he's not allowed to follow the casket to the kvura. And he ate him in Pesach Beis, so he's not even allowed to go out of his house because of the Levaya. Or min HaMikdash, or to leave the Beis HaMikdash. V'chol ha'am bo'im l'nachmei l'beis, but the people come to comfort him. V'hu emid b'shura. Alright, then this, when they make a shura, just how does he stand? And what do they say? And call everyone, when they come to be menachem him, everyone sits on the ground. He sits on a safsal. He sits on a bench. Veina kereya. He doesn't tear kriya. As it states, begodav lo yifraim. He's not allowed to tear kriya. Not only that, if he does tear kriya, it's a punishment. Not like everybody else. He just tears a little at the bottom. Veina marbe pera. He's not allowed to leave his hair grow. Because it states he's not allowed to in the Torah. He always must take a haircut once a week. Yeah. Once a week he must always take a haircut. Every Friday. The barber would come and give him a haircut. Because he had to look perfect. Again, we're talking about physical appearance. He was HaKadosh Baruch Hu's ambassador. perfect. And when he was an Arvel, still, every Erev Shabbos he had to take a haircut. And not only that, but the Rambam says, I don't quite understand what he's talking about, the Rambam, but I see that Ivor also doesn't understand, but he's saying how he takes his haircut. He has to take his haircut in a way where he says, the hairs are cut so perfect that you cannot tell that they were cut. See, everything must be perfect. There must not be any bald spot or anything like that. So this was the Kohen Gadol. Now, as I mentioned, there's much to speak about this. Please, God, Im Yirtzeh Hashem, will carry on next week. But we find this by the Mishkan, this great emphasis and recognition and appreciation of physical detail and perfection and beauty and wisdom. We find it, that's the Mishkan. We find it by all of the kelim. We find it by the begodim, the garments. We find it by the Beis Hamikdash, even more so. We find it by the kahanim, and the Kohen Gadol even more so. Maybe you'll say it's limited to that. Not so. We find it by the king. We even find it by people. We even find it by animals, the Chazal tell us. This is eye-openers for many people who want to say that this is the world of the Greeks, this is the world of the Goyim. Isn't that our world? We see not like that. This needs more elaboration and more explanation. Yitz Hashem, we will carry on next week.
The Yeshiva Gedola hopes that you have learned much from the presentation. For further information or to order additional shiurim, please contact the Yeshiva Gedola of Johannesburg. Visit us on the web at www.ygj.co.za or contact us via email at audio@ygj.co.za, via phone at 011-648-7906, via fax at 011-648-0085, and via post at P.O. Box 66226, Broadway 2020, Johannesburg, South Africa.